things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Great. Oh, you had to slurp it too? Gross, Ginny. We're having Bloody Marys this morning. They're excellent.
The most important part of Bloody Marys is the snacks.
100%. So we had cheese, we got celery, we got a little pickles.
A little gherk. A little gherk for your nerve.
Yeah. Ooh, my voice sounds very froggy this morning.
How are you? Good. I'll be done with the celery here in a second. Hold on.
Just a heckin' moment.
Just let me chew.
Uh-huh.
Hi.
My mouth is now celery free and happy to be here.
So happy to be here.
At A Little Bit Grim is the podcast you're listening to. That's Taylor.
That's Jenny over there. We're so happy you're here.
We're so glad you're here for another cycle.
Yeah.
New cycle today.
It's paranormal day.
It is paranormal day. Christmas is right around the corner.
Christmas is today. It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, like I said, right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Like the next corner. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, the next go around the sun. Wait.
No.
Nope.
The
next spin of the rotation.
There you go.
That's it. Yeah.
How does space work?
The last time I checked my NASA degree, yeah. I actually didn't know.
Okay. Continuing education required. We'll get back to you on
CCs.
That. More CCs are necessary for me to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I hope you have a good one. Enjoy the time that you have with, like, your loved ones. And
yeah, we know holidays can be hard for people. So if that is you, be kind to yourself today. And remember, it's all about, you know, celebrating and having small moments to yourself too.
And sometimes celebrating Christmas the right way is you sitting on your couch with a tub of ice cream and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the right way.
Merry Christmas to you.
I don't have any Christmas. I didn't put any. I bought a really sad, dying spruce plant at Walmart.
Okay.
So now I have a dead plant on my altar that I'm calling a Christmas tree.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's all I was able to do this year. I have other stuff on my plate.
You got a lot going on right now.
I am, babe, in real time, less than 1 week out from the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And my to-do list is, this is no exaggeration, 3 pages long.
Woof.
And I have 1 week to do it.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know how it's going to happen.
Friday, I had the realization that in real time, I leave for my second round of training tomorrow, which is in our time, Monday. And I will be gone Monday through Friday.
Don't you leave Monday for the wedding?
Like, tomorrow I leave for Dayton.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then that following Monday.
Yeah.
You're flying to Jamaica.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have family Christmases on the 18th and 19th.
No. We're...
Brittany and I are leaving for Chicago Sunday night. Ooh! Because our flight is Monday morning.
Okay.
So I panicked all of Friday because I was like, oh my God, I do not have a full work week available to me like I thought I did.
No.
So when I leave for Jamaica on Monday, I took 2 weeks of PTO.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Love that for you.
So I come back from Jamaica, then it's Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately go back to Orlando.
Okay.
For 5 days.
Okay.
So I will not be home until after the new
year.
You're
just jet setting. Is Ryan going with you?
To Orlando? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to watch the cats?
Well, probably his sister.
Okay.
When
do you guys leave?
For Orlando?
Yeah.
The 27th or 28th.
Okay.
We haven't bought our flights yet.
Oh, perfect. Really by the skin of our teeth.
100%.
Getting
well, we
through.
We didn't know if he was going to be able to come or not.
Oh, right.
Job stuff. We're still searching. All of that kind of thing is very up in the air. So I literally just committed to us going last week.
Okay. A little last minute.
A little last minute. A little here and there.
That's okay.
It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Lord.
It's going to be a crazy next 30 days. I foresee. Yeah.
We postponed all Christmases until January.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. My ability to do things that are not my wedding.
Low.
Or yeah. And then combine that with, like, I have a new job that
is time consuming and takes a lot of your mental energy.
Yes, it does. So I'm just trying to, but then you have, like, all this miscellaneous. Listen, if you've ever been married and you, like, planned a wedding, I don't know how you have done that. I don't know how you've done that. It's all the dumb shit. And it's like, it feels taxing. Like, I have to go get my nails done, which is like.
But it's. Listen, that is something that takes time and effort.
Yes.
You can't multitask when you're getting your nails done.
No.
You literally just have to sit there and watch the hour go by.
And
I'm not trying to sound snooty, but that's brutal sometimes. Because I'm like, there's things I need to be doing. Sometimes I will listen to a podcast while I'm getting my nails done and call it research during getting my nails done.
I have to get a pedicure before we go to Jamaica. I'm probably going to have to just find a place in Dayton and do it there. Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I have Friday blocked out for nails and toes. I have a hair appointment Tuesday. I have to get, like, my eyebrows and, like, mustache handled Wednesday. And I have classes and train. Oh, it's just so much. Busy gals.
Busy, busy.
Just busy, busy bees.
And then we have this, like, super fun passion project that we both hold ourselves to.
Incredibly high standard.
Incredibly high standard that neither of us will ever
let go. No.
Which I'm like, I'm happy for us because this brings me so much joy. But also, like, yesterday, I was like, we did Christmas yesterday as a family.
Okay.
Christmas was supposed to be from 10:30 to, like, 1:30. And then I was like, great.
Gotta go.
1:30. I'm going to go home. I'll write my story for tomorrow. No big deal. At Christmas, everybody was like, let's go ice skating later. And then let's have dinner. And then let's do.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Sometimes when we hang out, I forget we're recording.
And so we just eat stuff.
And so we just eat. I'll stop with the celery. Hold on. Ridiculous. Is this the high quality content
that you expected from us? We're so happy you're here.
I'm so sorry. And I went on autopilot.
That's good. Glad you're comfortable.
It's just so comfy.
Oh my God.
Somebody out in the world wants to shoot us.
So, oh, absolutely.
Me, for celery. Yeah. I'm sorry if that's you.
But we decided last minute that we were going to go ice skating.
Yeah.
And then we were going to come back to my parents' house for dinner.
Okay.
And play dominoes, which like, this has turned into an all-day thing.
What is with the Ludlow Whelan family and dominoes? What is this?
It's the best. It's okay. So fun. We have such a fucking blast.
That's crazy.
It's so dumb, but we do. So I had a 2-hour block of time to write an entire story.
Woo!
And I got it done.
Amazing.
And I was so proud of it. I was like popping it out. It's a story that I already knew. So okay. I didn't Helpful. Have to do a deep dive into articles and research and this, that, and the other thing. So, but anywho. It was one of those times where I was like, I have to leave so that I can do my homework.
I have an assignment.
I have an assignment.
It's due at midnight. I have to go.
Have to turn it in.
Oh my Lord. So we hope you're making it through the holidays at least a skosh better than we are.
Yeah.
Love you.
Who wants to go first today? Is it you or is it me?
It's me. It is me. We're back to the phone.
Oh,
did it on my phone. Okay. My sources are HotelCasadega.com, LAL Today, article by Caitlin Lewis, OrlandoHaunts.com.
Ooh, Orlando Haunts.
Orlando Haunts.
Ooh, you're going to send me somewhere?
Ooh,
where am I going?
Well, if you, Taylor, have ever been in Lakeland, Florida, and you hop in your car and drive 90 minutes northeast, you will run right into the sleepy town of Casadega, Florida.
Okay.
the psychic capital of the world.
Fun!
I know. The small, unincorporated Volusia County town is the center of local lore and is, ironically, without a cemetery.
That's weird.
This begs the question, where are the residents of Casadega buried when they pass? If you guessed half mile north in Lake Helen, you would be right.
Okay.
Did you guess that?
I did not.
Oh, then you were wrong.
Then I was wrong.
In the mid-1800s, spirit medium George P. Colby began traveling around the country, and he was giving spirit readings and little seances.
Cute.
He made his living this way and earned himself quite a reputation and a title, the Seer of Spiritualism.
Oh.
I love it. He was originally from a town called Pike in New York, and he attended spiritualist camp meetings near the town of Casadega, New York, which would lend its name to the community in Florida.
All right.
In 1875, while at a seance in Ohio, Colby was spiritually contacted by a Native American spirit called Seneca.
Okay.
Seneca claimed to be Colby's spirit guide and told him that he was destined to travel to Florida and create the world's greatest spiritualist camp. He began his journey to Florida, making friends with other mediums along the way, like T.D. Giddings, who had helped found the camp. Seneca continued to give Colby guidance, instructing him to find the high pine hills overlooking Silvery Lakes.
Hmm.
Colby ended up near the small settlement of Blue Springs, Florida, where he found a 35-acre plot of land which sat upon seven forested hills not far from Lake Helen. Colby and the Giddings family would then side the deed for the land and create homesteads on what at the time was just like backwoods, hilljack, wilderness, Florida.
Sure. Swampy.
Swampy. Colby found that the waters in the nearby lakes had healing powers and claimed that when he arrived, he had caught tuberculosis on the road.
Okay.
And after taking a skinny dip in Lake Helen.
Spicy.
He was cured of tuberculosis.
All right. Let's go.
Right, bet. There's
so. Pass that shit out.
There's so much lore about Florida having the Fountain of Youth. Which,
really?
Yeah. Would be like a great. That's what the Spanish were doing down there.
Yeah. That would be a really good folklore episode. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of us will get there. The purported healing powers of the lakes, as well as Colby's reputation as a seer of spiritualism, led to other mediums and spiritualists moving in and setting up shop like it's Mecca. So it didn't take long for a thriving community of spiritualists to take root, giving birth to the Casadega Spiritualist Camp, which is the number one major center of spiritualism in the U.S. today, period.
Shut up!
It's so cool.
That's
I want to go.
That's so fun.
In 1933, Mr. Colby passed away and was buried at the nearby Casadega Cemetery. The Lake Helen Casadega Cemetery is the comfy forever home of the Devil's Chair. It's a large red bench made of brick, and there are numerous legends associated with the Devil's Chair. Many say that the devil himself speaks to you when you sit there, and some report hearing voices in their head when they're seated. Others say the devil outright appears to those who sits in the chair, and the best-known legend is that if you leave one can of unopened beer on the bench, and you leave for the night, and mm-hmm. you come back in the morning, the can will be empty, yet remain unopened.
Ooh!
Cool, right?
I like it.
It's pretty cool. The devil's saucy. Don't give him a PBR, you better give him something good. Kentucky Bourbon Barrel. At the time of its founding, being in the Deep South, Christianity was still a strong force in the area, and local pastors and preachers spread rumors about the spiritualist camp. Rumors about devil worship and arcane rituals, witchcraft, paganism swirled through the Christian community. Others said that they dumped bodies of the dead in the nearby lakes and engaged in human sacrifice.
Oh, Lord.
Church leaders urged their congregants to stay away, setting a stigma that lasts to this day. Some spiritualists that go to Casadega keep their activity secret for fear of reprisal. Nowadays, the camp is more of a community than a regular campsite and is regarded as the largest in the United States and became its own historic district.
That's so cool.
In the National Register of Historic Places in 1991.
I love it.
So, who are the residents of this camp?
Please tell me.
They are mediums, healers, psychics, spiritualist church members. Some who claim the land exists in a spiritual vortex with a thin veil separating the living from the dead.
Is there a ley line
I should have looked. I didn't look to see if there was a ley line. I would assume there is.
I probably would go with yeah.
I let's go, yeah. Yeah, there is. It's Jenny on ley lines.
We decided.
It has the spiritual vortex, which I don't think this is like the first time that we've discussed energy vortexes. I think I mentioned it after I got back from Sedona, because Sedona is like the home of like the six spiritual vortexes, and it's like a mecca for like spiritual inner healing.
I don't think that you mentioned that.
I didn't. I should have. It's a very bizarre place. Beautiful.
Okay.
But like weird, like it has a lot of that new age metaphysical Reiki vibe to it.
I love it.
So at the center of it all, and the brick walls that enclose the energy vortex, belong to the Casadega Hotel. It's important to note that the Casadega Hotel is no longer associated with the spiritualist camp. The hotel we see today, historic in its own right, is also not the original hotel.
Oh.
The first hotel, owned by Emma J. Huff, burned down on Christmas night in 1926.
Wow.
The camp began reconstruction of the hotel the following year, and it was completed in 1928. However, during the Great Depression, the camp lost ownership of the hotel and it was sold to private owners.
Okay.
During the 1990s, it sold again and was renovated, and the hotel now includes Sinatra's restaurant, psychic readings, seances, meditation areas. And the hotel claims to be haunted by friendly spirits and advertises a truly unique experience.
Hmm.
One of the popular ghost stories is the hotel's resident ghost, Arthur.
Arthur!
Isn't that cute?
Cute. Arnie.
Arnie, sweet boy. The cheery ghost of Irish descent is said to have resided in the hotel during his life. He's known to drag a chair from one end of the hotel down a hall to look out the window.
Uh-huh.
Hotel guests have claimed to have seen brief glimpses of Arthur at the end of the hall or caught a lingering smell of gin and cigars, of which they say he was fond.
Hmm.
Which, me too, Arnie. Step back in time and enter a world of quiet grace and charm. This is from their website.
Okay.
Embrace the energy of many spirits who reside in this enchanted inn. The Casadega Hotel dates back to 1920s, serves not only as a quiet place to lay your head, but more especially as a respected spiritual sanctuary. It is our mission to help those who are seeking guidance from the highest spiritual and angelic realms and its truths. We offer informative lectures, spiritual and psychic mediumship development classes, meditation circles, energy healing seminars, and personal transformation workshops for the soul purpose of enriching and transcending your life. Modalities of Reiki healing, energy healing, crystal therapy are always available for body, mind, and spirit balance. Seances are recommended for those wishing to receive messages from deceased loved ones in communication with higher realms. Most notably, our gifted resident psychics and mediums are available daily to answer your most valued questions.
Wow.
Clients from around the world have had their readings with our psychics and mediums and are known for our expertise in astrology, tarot, past life regression, animal totems, channeling, dream interpretation, spirit communication, angelic guidance, and much, much more. Appointments may be made by phone or at the front desk of our hotel. Be sure to stop at our lovely gift and artisan boutique. You will find a vast array of delightful treasures, many of which are one of a kind and have been handcrafted by our local artisans.
I bet that shop would be so cool.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
I want to go.
I want to go too. You should look up rates. They're not bad.
All right.
The Hotel Casadega is a spiritual retreat and haven for those seeking higher counsel and spiritual healing. But if you think that this hotel is the only haunted place within Casadega, you are big wrong.
Mistaken.
And starting off with the Ann Stevens House.
Okay.
So I love when houses are named after people.
Yeah.
The Ann Stevens House. I just think it's like, what a fucking flex.
It's very old school.
It is.
I like when homes are named.
I do too.
Like
manors and.
Yeah. The eventually we'll cover Herb Baumeister, but he lived at Fox Hollow Farm. That was the name of the house that he lived in. And I just think it's so cool
to have like an estate.
Yeah, why don't our houses have names?
Name your house. Who's stopping you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do call it the White House.
Your house isn't white.
No.
But I like it.
But
the white
the whites the live here. The White House. I feel like I'm the president of
you
my
are
own
the
house.
You are the president of your own house. Oh, I love it. So the Ann Stevens House is a historical bed and breakfast located just down the street from the Casadega. It has a long history of housing, like, camp visitors. So, like, the people who came to visit the mediums and the psychics stayed at this bed and breakfast. It was built in 1895 by Ann Stevens, who built it because she would come to the camp in the winter. She would, like, snowbird, and so she just built a house down there.
I love that.
She acquired the property directly from George Cobey, and she also helped fund his tours. His, like, little medium across the country trips. She was his sugar mama, essentially. Stevens also served as director of the camp for several years and ran a boarding house for visitors. Today, the house is a popular 10-room bed and breakfast. Stevens Street, which is the main road passing through the heart of Casadega, is named after her. Some believe that the spiritual vortex is beyond the hotel and extends to all other parts of the city.
Big vortex.
With a neighborhood that boasts so many psychic seers and ghosts, you may be inclined to cast off this supernatural Mayberry as another cheap Florida attraction. But if you take the time to visit, you will see that there is something much more significant happening here than just a bunch of people who think that they're mediums living in one place. It's timeless and home to many serious spiritualists, as well as paranormal investigators who welcome visitors. But at the same time, every resident demands that their religious beliefs be respected. So, like, you don't come to Casadega as a skeptic. Like, you come and you embrace what the camp has to offer you.
You come open-hearted or you don't come at all.
Or you don't come at all because they will shut you down.
Nice.
It's so cool. It's a community that refuses to allow their homes to fade away, as so many others have before, and that's the perseverance that makes Casadega a truly remarkable place. So if you're looking for a unique Florida experience, rich with mystery and historic wealth, Casadega does not disappoint. And I have Google reviews.
Yay!
This is from Linda Moss. Didn't stay at the hotel, but had a reading there.
Okay.
Was very impressed, but can say it did feel more like a counseling session, especially with the hefty cost of $65 for 30 minutes, which I think is very fairly priced.
Yeah. I could see a reading costing between $60 and $75 for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I could too. However, some weird noise happened in the room that was unexplainable during the reading. Scratching and knocks at the door.
Ooh, I don't like scratching.
That is what prompted my 1-star review into a 3.
So she was not impressed.
She was not impressed until she had some oogie spook.
And then she was like, it's real.
All right. I'm impressed.
I'll give it to you.
Fair enough. Ray has, he had lunch at the restaurant, Sinatra's.
Okay.
It was pleasantly surprising. Good big burgers and nice extended menu. Nothing haunted happened, so we have that going for us.
Oh, I love that. Good.
Corey says, it's haunted, but it has bottomless Bloody Marys.
Oh.
So.
We definitely should be going.
So we are definitely.
Definitely. Add it to the map. We need a map. We need a map.
Oh my God.
So that we can pinpoint all the places that we want to go.
All the haunted.
Yeah, all the haunted.
Oh my God. Taylor and Jenny do Haunted America.
Oh my gosh, we need to.
We need that a TV show.
Hold on. I like it. I like where you're going with it.
Do you know any Hollywood execs who would be willing to fund an adventure? Because the way my bank account is set up, I can't exactly fund
the way that my bank account is set up. No, unfortunately, I don't. So if anybody out there knows a Hollywood executive that would be willing to fund this, let us know.
It wants to see two girls get spooked really easily. Let us know. We would be willing to do
that. And drink a lot of Bloody Marys while we're doing it.
Oh my God. Drunk ghosts. Drunk ghost hunting.
That would be hysterical. You can't tell me it wouldn't be.
I think it would be. But that is the story of Casadega, Florida.
That's super cool.
It is super cool. It's a little less like ghosty and a little more like, ooh.
Yeah. No, like, I like it.
I do too. I'm into any seance, medium, ectoplasm type shit. Ghost adjacent.
Ghost adjacent.
Do you have something scary?
I have something pretty good.
Okay.
So I am covering the Myrtle's Plantation.
Ooh. Okay.
Which is one of the most haunted places in America.
Mm.
My sources are the Lights Out podcast and the Haunted Walk, or yeah, the Haunted Walk article by Aaliyah Strachan.
I love that name, Aaliyah.
I know, I do too. And then I have some more sprinkled in here, but I cite them as I go, kind of.
Okay.
So the Myrtle's Plantation wasn't always what it is today. When it was built in 1796.
Damn, that's an old house.
Old house. By General David Bradford, it was a modest home that sat on about 1 square mile of land, and he named it Laurel Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Bradford lived there alone for several years until President John Adams pardoned him for his role in the Whiskey Rebellion.
What? What is that?
The Whiskey Rebellion?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know. I didn't really look too much into it, but I'm pretty sure it was...
Was it like a moonshiner thing? No.
I don't...
Sorry,
I
my don't timeline. Hold on.
You look it.
You
look
keep
it
telling me, and I will get more info.
All right. So once he was pardoned, he moved his wife Elizabeth and their 5 children down to Laurel Grove in Francisville, Louisiana. Francisville is about 30 miles north of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and according to some legends, the property sits on an ancient Native American burial ground. After the Bradfords died, the plantation and the slaves that worked there were sold. Once the Sterlings had purchased the property, they began renovations and expansions. They nearly doubled the size of the home and filled it with expensive furniture from Europe. They also changed the name of the home from Laurel Grove to the Myrtles due to the crepe myrtles that grew nearby. The home now had 22 rooms, winding staircases, and a formal dining room.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. All the glory and grandeur that you would expect from a Southern Gothic pre-Civil War era home.
Hmm.
Do you find anything about Whiskey Rebellion?
Yeah, it was the federal government. The first time that they taxed something, they taxed whiskey, and people got real fucking fired up about it.
Okay, so that's what a good old David Bradford was.
He was
about.
Mad that they were taxing his whiskey. Yeah, the United States won, as evidenced by the fact that whiskey is still taxed.
Yeah. So but you know, go David. Yeah, we're here.
Proud of you.
We're here for it.
Was he gross? Did he own slaves?
Yes, he did. Oh,
fucker.
Yeah. I mean, all of them did at this point. God. It's Louisiana in 1796 something. 17 something. 1976. I hope not. Jesus Christ. Taylor, edit that out. You sound stupid.
Don't you dare. You never edit me out when I sound stupid.
Okay. So one of the most significant moments in history at the plantation surrounds a slave named Chloe and the man that owned her, Judge Woodruff.
Ugh.
Some sources say that they were having an affair. However, I tend to believe that he was assaulting her against her will because even if she didn't want it, she wouldn't be allowed to say no.
Yeah. So. The consent is not there for me.
No.
No.
So the Haunted Places podcast takes an interesting and probably a more realistic take on what happens next. At some point, Judge Woodruff punished Chloe by cutting off her ear.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Haunted Places paints the picture that she resisted his advances and as punishment, he cut off her ear. However, in some other stories, it goes that he ended the affair and she was caught spying on him and his family. And when she was caught, that's when he cut off her ear to teach her a lesson.
Nobody's that worked up over an old ass white man.
No. In either story, after the punishment, she wore a green turban to hide the missing ear. He then punished her further by having her work out in the fields rather than take care of the children inside as she was accustomed.
Okay.
Eventually, Chloe would be able to get back in Judge Woodruff's good graces enough to occasionally work in the kitchen. She bided her time and slowly gained the trust of the family back. Finally, a birthday arrived and Chloe was tasked with making the cake for the family. In with the eggs, sugar, and flour, she mixed in a little bit of oleander as well.
No.
Some say she didn't intend to kill the family, only to make them sick enough so that she would be allowed back in the home to take care of the children. But the poison worked, and 2 of the children died, as did the master's wife.
Ooh, Chloe.
The other slaves were terrified of the master and what he would do to them. What he would do to them all if he found out that one of them had killed his family. After they found out what she had done, they turned against her.
They did?
They pulled her out of her bed and hung her in front of the house.
Snitches!
Yeah. Chloe's spirit is said to walk the grounds, and people see her frequently.
Aw, Chloe. What a hard life.
Yeah. In 1992, the owner of the plantation was taking photos of the grounds to help an insurance company write a fire policy. And as the owner walked the grounds, she took pictures of the buildings. She didn't notice anything amiss. So she sent the photos off to be developed and sent them to the insurance company. However, a few weeks later, she got a notification that they would need her to retake one of the photos due to somebody standing in the shot. But she knew that there was no one else around that day.
What?
But there, clear as day, it looks like a woman is standing between the two buildings.
No. Is it on the Insta?
Yes.
Ooh.
It is creepy.
Oh my God. Hold on. Wait. I want to look it up.
So the National Geographic Explorer filming crew determined that the photograph definitely contained what appeared to be an apparition of what they believed to be a slave girl. The slave girl appeared in the breezeway between the general store and the butler's pantry of the mansion. The horizontal exterior boards of the mansion were clearly visible through the body of the apparition. National Geographic Explorer used the photograph in their documentary and suggested that a postcard should be made of the photograph.
Whoa.
Mr. Norman Benoit? Yeah. A patent researchist visited the Myrtles Plantation in 1995 and requested permission to research the postcard. After enlarging the postcard and doing a shadow density procedure, he discovered that all the physical measurements of the apparition were human dimensions and proportions. The circumference of the head, the length of the shoulder to the elbow, and the length of the elbow to the wrist were all indicative of a human.
Mm.
So that's one of the, like, most...
Compelling
pieces of evidence saying, like, nobody can explain what this is.
Right.
And the shadow density test showed that the photograph wasn't altered. And it was taken in 1992.
We didn't really have that.
Technology.
For you youngins.
Right. And, I mean.
It was film.
Yeah.
We didn't have digital.
Back then.
Photos. Yeah.
So, during the Civil War, the home was robbed and many of the valuables were taken from the home, although the home itself did survive the war. One story says that that three Confederate soldiers broke into the home to steal valuables and furniture. One of them was shot and died in the parlor. No matter what they did, the blood wouldn't come out of the floorboards. And some say that they can still see the stain today.
What are they stealing furniture for?
Money. Sell it.
To whom? You've ravaged the entire southern half of the United States. Nobody's left alive to buy furniture.
Right. I don't know. But after the Confederacy, like, fell, they had Confederate money,
mm-hmm.
and their money was no longer worth anything.
Good.
So they were probably trying to sell it to get
for
Yankee money or
Yankee,
whatever they called it back then.
Yankee dollar dandy.
Yeah. After Chloe had died, the judge had sold the home, and he sold it to a wealthy man with 9 children. Unfortunately, he, his wife, and his 5 children would die from tuberculosis. The house was inherited by one of the remaining daughters and her husband, whose name was William Winter.
Okay.
So Winter and his wife had many children together, but one, their daughter, Kate, got very sick when she was around 3 years old. To try to save her daughter, they hired a woman who claimed to be a voodoo priestess named Cleo. Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
Cleo.
Cleo did everything she could to save the child, but was unsuccessful. Kate died in 1861.
Ooh.
It is said that William Winter was so furious with Cleo that he hung her.
What?
The room Kate died in was never quite the same. People who stay there now report their beds shaking and lifting off the ground.
Ooh.
The wood floor has gouges in it from where the bed has dropped back down over and over and over.
No way. Oh, wait, that gave me the heebies.
A little heebs?
Yeah.
Yeah. This place is haunted as fuck.
Okay.
There is a painting of Kate that hangs in the wall. In the portrait, she's holding a small black doll that is said to symbolize death. Now, the guests say that sometimes it looks like Kate's eyes follow them when they walk past her portrait.
Fucking yikes.
Yeah.
I hate paintings that do that. The Mona Lisa does that too. It's unnerving.
Just like...
Yeah, it's like, ew, stay still.
Please stop looking at me.
Fucking Dorian Gray looking ass.
Yep. Winter was teaching Sunday school at his home one day, and a... unknown man rode up on a horse yelling to see him.
Oh.
Winter went out to address the man, and he was shot at point-blank range on his front porch. He retreated into the home and staggered up the stairs to eventually die in the arms of his wife.
Oh my God.
The sound of his strong and powerful stomps still linger in the home today as visitors report hearing heavy footsteps from empty staircases.
Ew.
Now, when people go up the steps, sometimes they see blood stains even after the carpets have been cleaned. All in all, those close to the property say that there were at least 10 murders that took place on the grounds over time. Whether that's from the Civil War, Chloe's victims, or unwritten accounts, we aren't sure, but most historians agree that at least one murder did actually take place at the Myrtles Plantation, and that is of Mr. Winters. We know that he died there.
Wow.
Some of the most popular or often seen ghosts are those of Chloe, the two children, and Judge Woodruff's wife. It is said that the children tend to show up in bad weather. The tour guide will show you the mirror in the hall and explain that people have seen a face, children's fingerprints, and claw marks.
Claw marks?
Yeah.
From what?
They're trying to get out of the mirror. Yikes.
Okay. Gross.
So they explain that the face is Sarah, Judge Woodruff's wife, and the children, their faces appear in the mirror as well. The claw marks are from Sarah trying to get out of the mirror. These images are seen in any mirror placed in the exact spot of the original mirror, so they can't get rid of it. It doesn't matter that it's not the same mirror. They're on their third mirror.
Whoa. You're just stuck.
Yep. Hester Eby is the current director of tours at the Myrtles, which has recently been converted to a bed and breakfast. She said it's very common for people to come into the house and feel someone touch their shoulder, and they'll turn around and no one will be there, or someone will be alone in their room and they'll feel someone stroke their hair. Hester says she feels people tug at her clothes the most often when she's walking around the home. One gentleman was in the Myrtles Plantation and swears that a mirror lifted off the mantle and flew over 20 feet at him, hitting him and knocking him to the ground. Quite a few of our ghost hunting friends have visited the Myrtles, including Taps, Ghost Hunters, and Ghost Adventures.
Ooh, all of them.
Mm-hmm. The current owners of the plantation have had their fair share of experiences as well, but they do not think the spirits that live there are there to harm them. One evening, while Tita Moss was winding down after putting her children to bed, she heard a rough voice say, "Check the baby." At first, she brushed it off, thinking that she was just exhausted. Then she heard it again, only this time more forceful, "Check the baby." She went to check on her son Morgan and found his bed was empty. She ran around the house calling his name and looking for him. When she walked past the window in the kitchen, she saw a glimpse of the child teetering toward the pond.
What?
She grabbed him right before he fell in. After that, she felt that the spirits in the home were friendly and that no harm would come to her or her family while they lived there.
Oh! Wait, that's sweet.
I know. Tita and her husband, John, have transformed the Myrtle Plantation into a successful bed and breakfast, and it is listed as one of the most haunted places in the United States.
We should go.
Well, I have two reviews for you.
Yes! I love when we do this.
I know, I do too. Okay. Review number one, I don't believe it had a name associated. I got it off of TripAdvisor.
Okay.
I stayed at the Myrtles 4 years ago, and I'm returning again this month. I am a sensitive that stayed in the John Leake room. When people found out I was there, they asked to follow me around. It turned into about 14 people, which, like, I feel like the Myrtles Plantation would have been irked about that. Like, somebody just starting a ghost tour.
Yes.
Like, ma'am, like, no, people fly. Need to pay for this.
Yes. Capitalize. What are you doing?
Right. So it says, I gave a paranormal one-on-one so people would understand a little bit more about ghosts. And she put ghosts in quotations. It was raining really hard outside with lightning flashing and loud thunder that gave the place a spooky special effect. After the rain, I told everyone we were going to walk the grounds. A mother and her daughter went to their room to change their shoes, and they came back and the mother said, oh, I forgot my flashlight. She came running back yelling at me to come see her room. The shoes she and her daughter had taken off were on their sides and the soles were touching. Also, a window blind came undone from the top and it went halfway down and just hung there. I calmed her down and said, what did I just teach you? I said, they're not trying to scare you. They're trying to get your attention. Let's see what they're trying to say. I went over to the window and grabbed the heavy drapes. They were wet. I felt all the way to the floor and found the carpet was wet also. It had started raining again, and I pulled the drapes back.
The spirits are trying to say the window needs replaced.
Right. You need to get your shit fixed.
Yeah.
It started raining again, and I pulled the drapes back and saw water dripping right onto the fan cord that was plugged in and turned on.
Ooh.
I said, unplug that or you're going to have a fire. See, I told you they were just trying to get your attention.
Wow.
Later, around 1:30 a.m., I told everyone that I was turning in. I put a recorder by my bed and caught something amazing. You can hear footsteps clearly on the wooden floor, come over to the bed, and you hear someone whisper, "You be in my dream." And then you hear footsteps as it moves away.
Ew!
The next morning, my two daughters met me in the hall, or met me down in the gift shop for breakfast. Hester, the lady who runs the place, asked my daughter, "Is that your mother over there with the dark hair?" And my daughter said, "Yes, it is." Hester said, "I had a dream about her last night. She was standing looking out the gift shop window when I walked in. She slowly turned around and looked at me and said hi. And that's when I woke up and I realized that I was running late for work." My daughter and her friend wanted to visit a haunted house. I found this and did some internet search for the most haunted places. I booked it on Priceline. Very easy. Not expensive. At about $250 a night. So that's haunted review number one.
I love it.
All right. Number two.
Yep.
The grounds are beautiful. Staff is welcoming. They encourage us to walk the property and gave us a map when we checked in.
Aww.
I stayed there. I stayed in the two-story section, and it was very nice. The girls stayed in Crepe Myrtle Cabin. It was also very nice. It had a bedroom with two beds. In the den area, it had a private bathroom. Both rooms were very clean and very nice, country cozy.
Amazing.
The only issue for me was that the ghosts just kept me up all night.
Oh.
I am not joking. Supernatural sounds all around my room all night long. At first, goosebumps after a while was not scary. It just got loud. The girls had a similar experience. They also saw a ghost for fractions of a second in the field next to the property out on our late night walk. The place is really haunted. Breakfast and coffee were really good and homemade. Great way to start the day. Coffee 5 stars. One last thing. Keep an eye on the kids. They have several open wells on the property. Wouldn't want a curious one to fall in.
Oh my God. So nonchalant. Slept like shit. Ghost made a ruckus.
Yeah.
Great coffee.
Excellent work.
We should go.
Add it to the map, I'm telling you.
All right, we'll get a map. We'll get a map.
Yeah.
We'll plan a little road trip, haunted road trip.
So, yeah, that was the Marvel's Plantation.
So good. Great job. That really gave me the heebies.
Thanks. It's a really good one. I just have a hard time thinking that, like, something that old with that much history is not haunted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry. I'm annoyed that I've said yeah 56,000 times, but I just agree so heartily.
Oh, yeah.
That I feel like places that are old, it's almost like his footsteps going up the stairs. Mm-hmm. It's like a gif that replays.
Yeah.
Like a dramatic moment in their timeline that keeps
going.
Keeps getting played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's like, if you're young, you won't know this, but back in the day when you had DVDs,
oh,
and that's how you watched movies,
uh-huh,
the play screen, like when you finish the movie, it goes yeah back to the play screen, uh-huh, and it just loops.
Yep.
Yeah. That. It's that.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
So
what's it, do you have a bright in shinny?
I do. So, like I said earlier, my family did a family Christmas this weekend, which was so fun. And my brother and his wife made me the cutest thing. It is a board with our logo on it.
I love.
And it is in the window of our podcast room.
Oh my God, that's big.
It's huge. And it is like etched and burned. And
oh my
then
God
they painted it with our colors. I just
so
can't.
It was sweet.
So sweet. So adorable. Oh. I just love it so much.
What a thoughtful gift.
So thoughtful. So, and just so unexpected.
Yeah.
So that's my bright and shiny. I loved it.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you?
My bright and shiny is that when this airs, my official brother-in-law,
uh-huh,
and his girlfriend are staying with us right now. And so I haven't, like, we saw them when we were in Arizona, but before that, we haven't seen them since they went back to ASU for college. So
okay,
it is always a delight to have them around. They're precious beans, and I love them so much.
Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, Miss Marin, she's a avid listener.
Ooh. Hi, Marin.
Hi, Marin. We love you.
A little sweet nugget.
She is a sweet nugget. She's literally the most wholesome, sweet person. Like, genuinely, you know when you meet people who just have genuinely, like, a good, oh God, sorry, I just hit the mic, a good heart.
Good
she's
vibes.
One of, she, yeah, she is. She's one of those.
Aww.
She's just a sweet gal.
I love that.
So, Anyway, that's mine. Follow us on the Sochmeads.
Yeah.
And you better hurry up and do it because I'm going to take another bite of celery. Did you follow us?
Heckin' Jenny.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, follow us on the Sochmeads. If you have an ookie spooky thing that has happened to you, we would love to hear about it. If you've stayed at a haunted hotel, let us know. Even if nothing happened, I still want to know, like, was it clean? Was the staff nice?
What was the pricing like?
What was the pricing like? Give us the deets.
Gotta know.
What's
Email
happening?
Us.
And what else? Oh, you can leave us a review. And our merch shop is open, so go buy stuff. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye.
Bye.